Well, we have been in the Gospel of John for a long while. I think, if I'm not mistaken, began in September of 2022. So a lot has happened. We've had breaks in there where we had different other sermon series and things, but a lot has happened probably in your life and in my life, and there's all things that you can mark during that time, but we're reminded that even though, again, that our world and our days and our life is often, they're often changing, we're reminded that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this word, this truth, these are ancient words that declare truth today, and it's good just to walk through them. And today we have this passage about the love of Jesus and to love him, this question to Simon. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of a story that I'm sure I've shared before, but it's been a while, about my nephew Nathan, who was up here leading. He probably knows this story. I didn't ask permission, but anyway, I'll share it anyways. But when he was a kid, his mom, my sister, told me that when they were little, he would tell his little sister, he'd ask his sister, who do you love most? And my niece Riley would be like, well, Mom. And Nathan would be like, no, you must love Jesus most. And would ask her, what's your favorite book? And she'd say her favorite book. And he'd be like, no, you must love the Bible most. And now that you guys know Nathan, you know how that is still true in his life. But we have this call, as we've been walking through all of John, we've seen all these teachings of John, we've seen the life of John, we've seen the heart of Jesus and the life of Jesus, and we know that this is our Savior and our God, and we come through to this point, and there's this call to Peter, but a call to us to love him. And just even thinking through this week, how do you end this whole series? Well, we're just going to end it the way John wrote it. So we're going to walk through these final passages today. It's going to begin in verse 15, and we hear this first call, do you love me? Do you love Jesus? And this call to love Jesus is responded then for Peter to tend, to care for the sheep. And for us, I think there's a call to love your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Do you love Jesus? Verses 15 through 17. Well, then love your brothers and sisters as well. Now, if you remember last week, where at this point, Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, and he's risen from the grave. And he has appeared to the disciples. He's appeared to Mary, Mary Magdalene, and to Thomas and the other disciples. And then last week we saw this event where the disciples, they're out fishing. They can't catch anything all night. And then they're somewhat out on the shore, off on the shore, that says, hey, put your nets down one more time. And they don't know yet that it's Jesus, but it's Jesus. And they put those nets down, and then they're full of fish, and they remember that this has happened before, one other time, and only one other time, when Jesus did this miracle, this work. So they know that it's Jesus, and they head to Jesus. And Jesus is there on the shore, and what's he doing? He's making breakfast for them. He has fish and loaves, and he's making a breakfast for them. And he says, come, eat breakfast, join, and that's fellowship. And he's beginning to restore Peter and the disciples at his arrest and crucifixion, they scattered and they left. And Peter denied Jesus three times, which Jesus had told him he would. And here there's this restoring of Peter in this passage. So let me read verses 15 through 17. It says, When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, oh, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So here, they've already eaten that breakfast with Jesus, and now it appears that they're walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They're walking together. And we're going to see that they're kind of walking together as they're talking, because later on in verse 20, we're going to see that John is following them, and he gets kind of drawn into the conversation as they're walking along. So the disciples, it looks like they're walking down with Jesus, and Jesus is having this conversation with Peter, but he's going to restore him. He's going to restore him to his place of leadership and give him a call to lead and to shepherd the people of God. And he restores him publicly here. And Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And there's a little bit of a question here. What does he mean by more than these? Is he saying, do you love me more than these boats and these fishing nets and your life as a fisherman? And that's been suggested as a possibility. Or do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these other apostles, these friends of yours that have walked through this? But I think more clearly, and probably the easiest answer is really that Jesus is saying, do you love me more than these others' disciples, than these other disciples love me? Do you love me more than they do? And I think this echoes back to how Peter often, if you know Peter, he often in a strong way has really boasted about his loyalty and his willingness to even lay down his life for Jesus. I think of one of those examples is Jesus kind of, or Peter just kind of speaking out in a way that the other disciples don't. And this is John 13 when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, if you remember that. And Jesus takes on this servant role that no one would have ever expected him to do. And Peter, when Jesus gets to Peter, he says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And then Jesus answers, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you'll understand." And then Peter says, "You shall never wash my feet." He's like, "No way." But then Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." And then what does Peter say? Well, he's like, "Then just wash all of me." So he goes one way to the other. And then another time I think of, this is from Mark, first at the end, also in chapter 13, Peter says, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And that's when Jesus says, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." And then in Mark, also, it adds a detail that Peter says, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And here he did deny Christ. And Jesus is asking Peter, I believe in this moment, to examine his own heart, in his own life in this matter. And it's good to examine our own life and examine ourselves, but not to look overly introspectively in a way that we just despair, but it should cause us to know that we need Jesus when we look in. We see that we fall short. We see the ways that we even don't even love those, or we often hurt those we love the most even, and we just need Jesus. So he examines his heart. Do you love me more than these? And then three times Peter's asked, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And in this passage, if you've ever studied it before, you've read about it, or you've heard sermons on it, maybe you're familiar with, there's a couple words for love in the Greek that are in this passage. Now, in English, we just have that one word, love. But in Greek, there's a couple. And you have phileo and agape. And there's been a lot of studies about what these different words and the differences in them. And there has been a lot made, maybe you've heard a lot made of these different words. Jesus begins with phileo, "Do you love me?" Phileo, and then agape, and then back to phileo. And Peter every time uses the word phileo. And so there's been a lot of different understandings of what's maybe going on here. But as I studied this week, those Bible scholars that I really trust said that it's probably, as we look at John, we look at the Gospel of John, often when you have a passage, you're like, what do I do with this? You look at the context of the paragraph and then the whole book and then all of Scripture, and you see John, throughout the Gospel of John, he uses these words, phileo and agape, he uses them interchangeably. For example, John chapter 3 and John chapter 5, we have this phrase about the Father loves the Son. And one time he uses phileo, and another time agape. And then there's talks about Jesus' love for Lazarus. And one time in John 11:5, it's for we have phileo, and then we have agape. And then even the description of John himself as being the disciple, the beloved disciple, the one loved by Jesus, one time phileo, and another agape. So you have it interchangeably used. So I don't think the greatest significance is in the use of the back and forth between these. But what is most clear and significant here is that Jesus asked Peter how many times? He asked him 3 times. How many times has Peter denied Jesus? 3 times. And there is this in the background where Peter clearly is reminded the way that he denied Christ 3 times. And here Jesus is clearly restoring him and calling him to love him, and he restores him. And this is being brought to mind. And we know that Peter indeed did love Jesus. You think of when he denied Jesus in the Synoptic Gospel. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right after Peter realizes, I've denied him 3 times, just as Jesus predicted. What does he do? Do you remember? He wept. It says he weeps bitterly. So he wept bitterly after denying Christ. And his denial weighed heavy on him. And here we see just that grace and the mercy and the restoration of Jesus for Peter, who loved him. And we even see as he asks Peter that 3rd time, do you love me? Peter is grieved. He knows where this is going, and he's weighed down by the fact that he has denied, and he says, yes, you know everything. You know I love you. You know. So there's more in Peter than just a regret for doing something wrong, or I got caught, so I feel bad for a moment, but there's godly shame and repentance in Peter, in the heart of Peter, and he loves Jesus. And then how does Jesus respond each time when Peter says, yes, I do. You know I love you. Well, there's a call to action there where he says to Peter to affirm this love. Well, then live out this love. Live out as you love, as you say you love me. Well, then love my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And then here we just have that call to care for the flock. And who are the sheep? This is his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the sheep of the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, and the flock are those who follow him. And Peter is being issued this call to feed and to tend and to care for the people of God. So true repentance, we're reminded, true repentance results in change actions and change living. There's outward fruit that will flow from our love of Jesus. So feed my sheep. This is the idea that Peter was one who would be teaching the word of God, the words of Christ to the flock. I see this echoed in some of the rest of the New Testament where Paul writes to Timothy, and Timothy is a shepherd, shepherding a people. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Then 1 Timothy 4:13, where he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to exhortation and teaching. And we know the apostles early on, they had the ministry of the word of prayer and the word, and so they fed the sheep. And then tend the sheep. There's a caring for the people of God that Peter was called to, and those who are shepherds, under shepherds of Jesus, are called to care, lovingly protect and feed and know and lead the sheep. Peter, then he'll go on later and he'll write a letter to the churches, and 1 Peter is one of those. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes this. He says, so I exhort the elders among you. Those are the leaders, the pastors, the elders. As a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. He says, then shepherd the flock of God that is among you. It's called a shepherd. So he gives that call. So that for me, that's a super important verse for me as a shepherd and as a pastor. It's a strong call to feed and the sheep and to tend for and care and lead the sheep. And as too, as I was studying this week, when I have this exchange between Jesus and Peter, this, do you love me? Then feed and tend for, care for my sheep. It brought to mind when Christ was asked about what is the greatest commandment. And this is from Mark 12, 29 through 31, where Jesus responds, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So we see this call to love God and love others. And in this, we see this exchange with Jesus and Peter. Do you love me? Well, love others. It flows out. And even just as a church, we should see that as we love Jesus. We're a gospel community. We're to be focused on the good truth of the gospel. And we seek to love one another and be gracious. Even as Peter's being restored here from his sin, his denial of Jesus, there's grace poured out. So we have a call to this gospel community. And Peter's call, Jesus doesn't give him a checklist so much of things, but he's called relationally to serve the sheep. And often, it's been a while, and I was reminded of it just this past week or last week, the idea, like, when we think about what do we do, what is our ministry? Sometimes you ask, well, what is your ministry? Well, you might think of little nuts and bolts of things you do, but really, a good question is, who is your ministry? Who is your ministry? So Peter hears he's restored. He's restored. And we're reminded that his denial, his sin, his denial of Jesus, his rebellion from Jesus, it did not ultimately define who Peter is or was. It didn't ultimately define his walk with Jesus, that he is forgiven, he is restored. Isn't that good that our past sins, our past fears, our past doubt, our past denial, those things do not ultimately define us. If we turn and we trust in Jesus, that we are forgiven in him, that we are washed clean in him. So our past fears and doubts and sins, they don't define us ultimately when we are in Christ. Amen? Isn't that good? He forgives us. So he is restored. Peter's restored. And we're just reminded too, even, that we need to be a people willing to forgive and extend forgiveness, to extend grace. Just as Jesus extended forgiveness, extended grace to Peter, we should even more so show the love of Christ in that way. So do you love me? Tend my sheep. And then verses 18 through 19, do you love Jesus? Entrust your life to him. Follow him. So we have this interesting exchange between Jesus and Peter here. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And we read that, and we're like, what exactly is going? This is a strange proverb. And we're going to see that John helps us out. And he says this, Jesus said, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So here we have this exchange of the good shepherd, who was one who laid down his life, that was crucified and died, that we could, through him, be forgiven. He died in our place for our sin, then he rose again. And Peter now knows that he's going to also walk through a difficult death, that he will be martyred here. This phrase, you will stretch out your hands, it refers to that idea and would have been understood during that time as referring to crucifixion. And church history tells us that Peter was crucified, probably under Nero. This is from an early church father, Jerome, that said, Peter, was crowned with martyrdom under Nero, being crucified with his head downward and his feet upward, because he alleged himself to be unworthy of being crucified in the same manner as his Lord. So we know that Peter, Jesus is telling Peter here that you will die. That your hands will be stretched out, that you too will be killed and martyred as you follow me. And John makes clear in verse 19 that indeed this is what Jesus is speaking about, his death. And church history points to this truth, that this is how it was understood to be. So in light, though, in light of this potential, or this future, not potential, this certain future of Peter, what does Jesus say? How does he follow up? He says, follow me. Follow me. It's not going to be easy, but follow me. And this word, this verb for follow me, it's a present imperative, which is this idea of keep on following me. This is a continual to the end, follow me, that Jesus is calling him into. And this isn't the first time Jesus has said to Peter and the disciples, follow me, is it? I think the very first time when Jesus calls them to be his disciples, I think in Mark 1:16-18, it says, passing along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So I think of that. I think of this call to follow me. I think of also the teaching of Jesus that applies to all of us. I think of Luke 9:23, where Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit or lose his soul? So Jesus just calls us to lay down our life that we might actually find true life in him. There's so many things that in this life that say that they offer life to you, but they just fall short. They're, as we've talked about, they're often refuges that we run to that just end up being refuges of graves, of bones. They just don't help. They destroy. But here, Peter's called, follow me and trust your life to me. And even though you will die for following me, follow me. So we're called, do you love Jesus? Will we entrust our life to him and follow him? And then 20:20-24, actually. I think I have 23 up there. But I'm going to go ahead and go through 24. And Peter, we see, do you love me? Then trust him with our future. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also had leaned back against him during the supper and said, Lord, who is it? Who is it that is going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is it to you? You follow me. So the saying spread among the brothers and the disciples was not that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him, he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? And this disciple who is bearing witness about these things, this is the disciple, and who has written these things, and we know his testimony is true. So here we have a little bit of back and forth. So they're walking along, and there's other disciples there, and we know for sure John is there, kind of trailing behind. And Jesus has given these challenging words to Peter that he will be killed as Jesus was, and he needed to follow him. And maybe Peter at this moment, he's feeling a bit singled out in this moment, So he deflects a little bit of these words of Jesus, and he begins to look around and begin comparing, and he sees John, and he thinks about John. He's like, well, what about John? What about John? What's he going to face? What are you calling this man to do? How is he going to die? And so we have just kind of this back and forth a bit here. And then we see Jesus in speaking about John, and that if it be up to him, well, what if he's here till I return again? And Jesus here is saying, don't be concerned about John. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about anyone else and their calling in their life. You just follow me. Worry about yourself. Look to your calling. If John remains till I come again, so be it. That's up to me. But often, isn't that how it is? Often we look at our life and we look at other people and are like, well, what about them? Why do they not walk through what I'm walking through? Or look at their calling, man. That sure seems like a whole lot more exciting than mine. I know for me, the worst time of the week to, I don't get on social media a ton, but It's the worst. It's Sunday afternoon to Monday is like a horrible time for me to get on and look at, because I see posts from other pastors, other ministry, and I think, oh, man, what about them? You know, and you begin to compare and contrast. And as we know, as it's been said before, that comparison is the thief of joy. You might say nowadays social media is the thief of joy, and we just steals us. But we should instead rejoice that Jesus gives us different places and different callings and different things that we're going to walk through. This past week for the Calvary family of churches, we had a pastor meeting, and we all gathered together, and I just was reminding again of just the different callings these guys have and the different giftings. Like, there's one older gentleman who's a pastor up in Blanca, and he works with just people that are rural and just they're spread out, and he'll help go and help with cattle and help brand them. And I don't know if he does banding and branding, but he goes and he does just everything. But he serves the people that way. And he just mentioned that he felt the God laid on his heart that as a church that they wouldn't do big events, that it would just be serving people in little ways, and the Lord would bring in those who they were called to serve. And so he has this different calling. And then during the meeting, one of the pastors, their son, who's 23, led worship for us. And man, it was amazing. It was great. It was like a combination of his voice was like Jeremy Camp and Pearl Jam, like together. And it was just like, it was just like amazing. And I was like, man, God, why could I not play and sing like that? And then I thought, no, we're given different callings. And different things that we walk to, and we're reminded that our identity is just rooted in Christ. Do you love Jesus? Follow me. May we be those who just declare that we are those who follow Jesus. And then verse 23, we see that there's confusion among the disciples through the years. And here John's making some clarifications. Apparently, there's a rumor out that John would just maybe live forever until Christ returned a second time. And he's like, no, it's kind of like that game of telephone where you have a line of people and you begin at the front where you say, let's go play at the beach. And when you get to the end, it says, let's go eat burgers at McDonald's. And you're like, how did that get there? But there is a confusion a bit about what Jesus has said and what the meaning was. And he clarifies, no, Jesus did not say I would be here till he returned. He just said, what if? That's up to me. And I think in that, I was just reminded, we always need to be a people who are discerning when we hear things, or we read things, and be slow to post or to pass along information. Unless we're 100% sure it's true, we just need to be thoughtful. I was just reminded of that. Don't believe everything you hear. Check the sources. But here, this call of Peter to entrust his life and his future. Do we love Jesus? We can trust him with our life and our future and the calling that he's given us and the circumstances that he's called us to walk through. And then finally, verse 25, we're to the end. Oh, man. Love Jesus and find life in him. He is the Christ, the Son of God. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So John, here he gets to the end, and he says, all of the Gospels we have, they're just a fraction of all that Jesus did. If I only had time to sit down and write them all, is what he's saying. There's just so many things. We're just reminded of all of the greatness of Christ and who he is. And as we think about that, we think of both the things that Christ has done and the names and who Christ is. We can look to John, but then we can look to all of Scripture. And we see how all of Scripture points to Jesus, and we can just be reminded even today as we think about looking to Jesus, might we even be reminded of just the wealth that we have of who Christ is. And if we want to know the heart of God, we look to the heart of Christ. As I was studying this week, I came across a compiled list of all of the miracles of Christ. And even in that, I was like, they missed a few. So, but I'm going to read through those and add some that I thought of. And then a compiled list of just all of the names and titles of Jesus Christ in all of Scripture. And again, that list was not comprehensive. I kept thinking, oh, what about this one and this one? So I kind of compiled them all together. And let me just read those for us this morning. And may we just be amazed about who Christ is. And I'm going to try not to get emotional. I know you know that. But it says, I love Jesus. So this is good stuff. So what has he done? Well, we think just in John, the seven signs, we've talked about that. He changed water to wine. He healed the royal official son. He healed the paralytic. He fed the 5,000. He walked on water. He healed the man born blind. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And then we see in the other Gospels and other parts of John, He also fed the 4,000. He calmed the storm. He healed the blind man Bartimaeus. He cast out the man that had all of the demons in him, the one called Legion. He raised up Jairus's daughter. He healed the woman who had been bleeding for years upon years. Twice he had the miraculous catch of fish. We talked about that today. He cured Peter's mother-in-law. He raised a widow's son from the dead. He healed the centurion's servant. He opened the eyes of two men born blind. He loosed the tongue of one who could not speak. He restored a withered hand. He healed the woman of Canaan. He cured a deaf man and a mute man. He cured the boy that was demon-possessed. He set the woman free that had been afflicted for 18 years. He healed the man with dropsy. He healed the 10 lepers. He restored the ear of the high priest's servant. And we could just go on. There's others that you're probably thinking, oh, you missed this one or that one. But then the names of Jesus. Just in the Gospel of John, we learn about Jesus that he is the Word. He is God, the Word made flesh, the only begotten Son, the Comforter, the King of Kings, the Bread of Life. He is the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the Good Shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the true vine. And we saw last week in the words of Thomas, he is our God, our Lord and our God. In other parts of Scripture, Old Testament and New, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Christ, and he is the last Adam. He is the faithful. He is faithful and true. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the bright morning star. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Almighty One, our advocate, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the beloved, the bridegroom, the cornerstone, the head of the church, the Holy One of Israel, the horn of salvation. He is the great I Am. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He is our mediator, the Mighty One, the Man of Sorrows. He is the Redeemer, the Rock and Risen Lord. He is our Savior. He is the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. He is the one by whom all things were created and in whom all things are held together. He is the branch, the deliverer, the faithful witness, the image of the invisible God, the just one, the judge. He is Eve's promised child. He is the root of David, the rose of Sharon. He is the promised seed of Abraham. He is the chief shepherd and the overseer of our soul. He is the Lord of glory, the Lord of righteousness, the Lord of lords, and the Lord of all. Whew, I made it through it. I didn't know. But amen, isn't that amazing? This is who Christ is. And then it comes to our theme as we've walked through John. Anthony, just put on that last, the little picture slide for our title. This is the next. There. We're just reminded, I think John 6, verses 66 through 69, where Jesus teaches hard things, and instead of the people wrestling through those hard things and drawing near to Christ, many of them just left. And then Jesus, what does he say to his disciples? He says to them, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter, he answers, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. I just think of that, who Christ is. Look at this world. around us, and even just kind of the debate, first debate is there a God? And you look at creation, you look at the intricacies of even just our own body, and we get down to a place and just creation where there's design. There's a fingerprint of God everywhere. And then you think of all the religions of the world and all the things they're taught, and then I look at Christ. There's no one like Jesus. And I say, where else would I go? Where else would I go? So today, just to challenge you, look to Jesus, maybe for that very first time. Maybe just in your life, in your walk, you've just been just pushing against or rebelling against Christ. And you're recognizing that that leaves you empty. There's a call. Find life in Jesus. Let's pray.